was a 90s Christian teen, which meant wearing WWJD bracelets, thinking VeggieTales was the epitome of comedy.
Why, thank you. It was my finest hour.
And of course, loving DC Talk. The title track was all about being radical for Jesus and extreme for Jesus and not caring what other people thought of how much you love Jesus and how cool it was that John the Baptist got his head chopped off.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Christians are tired of being bullied for their faith in the public square. They wanted an administration who would respect rather than ridicule their beliefs. And in many ways, the election of Donald Trump and Mike Pence was a reaction against these kind of despicable attacks upon people's faith.
This is not about prejudice. This is about self-preservation as a country.
And I think that the silent majority is sick and tired of consistently being bullied to be quiet about our beliefs.
Thank you all so much. What a super Tuesday.
My prediction, and this is only my prediction, if we, and by we, I mean those here in America that are God-fearing, American-loving, and dare I even say, patriots, right? If we don't stand up right now and say, all right, that's it. Enough is enough. My prediction, within a decade, the Bible will be purged and labeled hate speech. And I really thought about the time period. I first thought about it, and I was going to say, I'm 56. If I live average time, I was going to say in my lifetime, I think I will see the Bible become hate speech. But then, no, I thought, you know what? I think it'll be shorter than that, God willing. And that's why I say probably within a decade. It's already been purged. I mean, it's already been labeled hate speech, but I'm talking about officially labeled hate speech, homophobic, racist, misogynist. It's already happening, but I think it will be banned. And what we're seeing here with the Disinformation Governance Board and with you have a crazy person go shoot up people in Buffalo, and suddenly it's no longer, you notice it's not about gun control or the Second Amendment or assault weapons. It's about freedom of speech and purging what people can do. I mean, where did they go off on that tangent? Because the guy live streamed it, I guess. And we're seeing this already. I had a listener to the show who obviously listens to Power Talk in the morning. Rick, thank you. He emailed me this morning. Squires, I don't know. I know you listen in the morning. I didn't hear. But he said Beck was dead on today. He said, not promoting American greatness will be the downfall of the republic. I guess he was on that concept right there. But my prediction, it's kind of underneath that umbrella right there, right? I don't know if you know this name. It was in the news. It was on CNN. It was on Fox. It was on MSNBC. It was a big story. The American pastor that was in prison for 2 years in Turkey. False charges. His name was Pastor Andrew Brunson. And my dad was the World Outreach Director for the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, EPC Church, and he was a pastor a missionary for 20 years, Pastor Andrew Brunson was, and he was an EPC pastor. And my dad talked to him before he actually became captured. My dad has met with him and talked to him and interviewed him. And so this is the guy. And we're gonna reach out and try and through a connection get him on the show here. But this was a WorldNet Daily article. It says, Pastor Brunson to U.S. Christians, get ready for persecution, he says. He says, we're in an environment of increasing hostility. And what he said is, you need to prepare to face the kind of persecution experienced by fellow believers around the world. See, we still, take abuse online, take abuse, well, outside of churches now. You know, they'll sit there right at the church steps and do a mock abortion with the worst words. You think of Adventure Church here, and this is why I've been saying now for well over a year at the Tower Theater, no churches. I think Pastor Franklin and Pastor Flores, they're working together. That's one good thing happening there. But all the other churches, You didn't do anything. They'll be at your door, and guess what? I got to say, look, it's happening. Remember Easter, the abortion, the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade? You just wait. Just wait. Unless, and I really do mean this, unless we stand up now and say, that's it, enough is enough. But, you know, we can say that. We can group together. And there's a weakness on the conservative Republican side. Yeah, I'm calling out our own people that think other people are going to do it for them. The Democrats, they're organized. That's the number one key thing. They're organized. And they show up in numbers. And that's how we'll get steamrolled. That's how the steamrolling will happen. And I'm warning you now, all you other churches, you need to get a hold of the city government in Fresno. If you're a church leader, if you're an elder, if you're somebody that just goes to one, you need to go to your pastor and ask him, how come we haven't mentioned anything about this? Won't they soon be here at our church, right? And it's going to take city leaders, it's going to take state leaders, it's going to take national leaders to actually have the guts, to have the morals to stand up and say, no, you can't pick on this one religion. That's against the Constitution of the United States of America. Pastor Brunson said, I'm going to quote him from this article, I came close to failing, especially during my first year in prison. Said at times I was suicidal. I was overcome with fear and despair. I went into a relational crisis with God. He said, I'm not talking about politics. I'm not thinking of this as an issue of right versus left, but rather followers of Jesus on one hand and on the other, those who are hostile to followers of Jesus. We've seen that. Yeah, Pastor Brunson was thrown in prison in 2016 on trumped up charges of terrorism and espionage. He'd been in country for 20 years, and he obviously did get back out and came back to America. But he said the way he survived was spending hours in prayer just to keep my sanity. And he's talking about everything that's going on, and we've seen this. We've seen what has actually happened now. I mean, look, if we don't stand up and say that's it, enough is enough, when they're transitioning our kindergartners? We saw Black Lives Matter. Their national charter was destroy the Western nuclear family. And what did so many corporations and people in America do? Yeah, that sounds great. Let's destroy family. Let's destroy life. And while we're at it, let's destroy any kind of biblical teaching that we can possibly find. And if you stand up for it, you're a bigot. You're a misogynist. It's already out there. Think of it this way. Do you remember when the wokeness, the term snowflake, we don't even use snowflake anymore. That's too light. But that was one of the harshest snowflakes. And where were they? Where were they? University campuses, right? Look how they have spread. I mean, you look at the wokeness now. What snowflakes were demanding on campus now. Second graders are getting in trouble for misgendering someone. It's now, you'll actually be in trouble in school. So you've seen it. You'll be in trouble at your job. You see how quickly that spreads? So this anti-Christian sentiment that's out there, it's spreading, and you see how quick things change. This Pastor Brunson said the majority of believers are not ready for the pressures of persecution, and he said he thinks it's dangerous. He believes that one of the purposes, he said, that God had in my imprisonment, that I would learn how to stand under pressure, even when I was weak and overwhelmed, and this was in part so I could encourage others to stand when they're under pressure. Now, if you can't stand up under the pressure in America right now, surely you're not going to stand up. And I say that to myself as well, when the pressure truly comes on. And we've seen this. It's not even now such as an anti-Christian view, but a pro-anti-Christian, a pro-Satanist view. Taco Bell spokesman, Lil Nas X, Nike, the shoes, the 666, even though Nike said, no, we didn't know you were going to do that with them. We're going to back out of that. We're not ready quite yet to jump into your Satanism realm, but it was applauded. Oh, little Nas X, a drop of blood in his Satan 666 shoes. You watch the Hollywood award shows. You watch the halftime shows. They are occultic. And if you're not paying attention to it, then I guess you don't feel the way that I feel. But it is so obvious to my eyes to see this. I'm looking at somebody over there that's actually involved in the comic book business. Did you hear this one? Comic book superheroes, now some characters. Let's see here. Marvel's new Doctor Strange film is making Satanists the heroes. Here in the poster for the film, they have the male guy, the biggest character in the poster right here, doing the hook'em horns, the sign. Well, that's what Bush, you know, the Texas Longhorns, but he's doing the rock on. But anyhow, that's why you're not going. Good. This flick, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, is, well, they're saying here, pushing the envelope by making Satanists the hero. This is it's all around, and it's not really surprising at all with the abortion issue. You get ready for this. The Church of Satan saying that abortion restrictions violate their religious rights. They view abortion as a religious ritual. That's how far we've come. And I was just saying to Squires before the show, I'm like, man, the 1980s almost seemed like the 1940s. Well, they didn't have Boy George. And I don't think Madonna would have been able to get up on the stage in the 40s. But anyhow, it was a lot closer compared to now. And it's in the schools. You know this, right? I mean, I daily could have stories. And this is a day, and I have a story. Ready? Parents, school board members, parents went after him in Pennsylvania. A teacher invited drag queens into the high school last month. Now the after-school event at the high school was hosted by this French teacher, the sponsor of the school's Gay Sexuality Alliance. And parents weren't aware of the event until it had actually occurred. And this teacher, who's now on administrative leave because somebody said, that's it, enough's enough, posted Instagram handles for the drag queens that would have what? Given the students a way to contact the performers. And all four of their accounts that this teacher was giving out to the students had major, we'll just call it lewd conduct. Does that mean anything today? Parents told the school board that they're actively grooming children. Then suddenly Joe Biden had helicopters around. They were, soldiers were coming down the ropes to grab them, right? How dare you? How dare you? Crowds of people actually were out there supporting the French teacher, who is on administrative leave. They were out there supporting him, waving rainbow flags. Vehicles were honking in support of all of this. But there were more that were against it than were for it. But isn't that amazing that the government has come after those that are against things like this? Another parent brought up the concern, said, when they first brought it up to the school district's attention, they said, trust the teachers and understand the need for the children, some of them, to be made uncomfortable. They were like, what? Absolutely not. They got in front of the school board talking about the filth in our schools, the exploitation of our children. And you know that this is only going to continue. And those that have any faith, and I don't, you know, what denomination, what religion that you are, it will be a certain ones. There will be I'll just call them the Illuminati religions. Yeah, the ones that are going along with it. Oh, Holy Mother above, who knows all trans identity, praise the Lord. You know, I've been playing the audio of that stuff. They'll be right there going after the church. And that's my prediction. 10 years, hate speech, Bible. You can already see it. The purge is up on us. Disinformation Governance Board. Ministry of Truth. Very near future, they will deem the Bible hate speech.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Well, some people are standing up here, I think. Go woke, go broke. One company that's learning this is Disney. Walt Disney Company. How much did they lose in the last 2 months? Go woke, go broke. Well, they're not broke yet, but they've gone woke and they're broker. They lost $63 billion in market capitalization over the past 2 months. Shares of Disney's dropped 23.5%, down $62.6 billion. Hard to wrap my head around that kind of money, but they're losing it, man. Maybe, is that chump change to them? I don't know. Still a quarter of a market cap. That's not good at all. You know what it is? Their decision to speak out on the parental rights bin education bill. They went woke, and all this wokeness has backfired to the point other CEOs of other companies, they've seen what's happened with Disney, and it's an example of what not to do in business, and they're paying the price. Disney is for their woke turn in the road. Damage has been done. They can't take it back. There's no statement. There's no way they're going to fix this harm. The chief corporate affairs officer for Disney, who came up with that response to the DeSantis parental rights and education law, guess what? He resigned to pursue other opportunities after 3 months on the job. Wow, dude. Jeff Morrell, one time George W. Pentagon spokesman, joined Disney 3 years, 3 months ago to head up this communication department. And what's the communication department at Disney? Well, they includes overseeing government relations and public policy. Hey, Jeff Morrell, good statement you released. $62 billion down. You know, it was one of those where, like, okay, well, let's just say you're resigning. I mean, you're brand new on the job 3 months in. Suddenly, I was looking for the line, well, to spend more time with my family. That's what they always say, right? There are people that are standing up, and I've heard his name. I've never played you any audio on the show. I don't know if you've heard of Governor Pete Ricketts, governor of Nebraska. I've heard the name pop up here and there, but I ran across some audio this weekend. He was on CNN. And of course, Dana Bash, I'm really going to get a conservative. I'm going to ask him about, you know, what if a woman's raped or, God forbid, an incest, right? Would you still want to? And I love the fact, and before I play you this, his response to this, I'm going to ask you the question. You, think of everything, think of all the great things in your life that's either happened in the past or that you got dreams for in the future or happening right now on a Super Tuesday. Think if you were a product of rape. Would you have wanted to live? Would you have wanted to go through all of that if it was you? I guarantee you, unless you're borderline suicidal at the moment, and get some help if you are, but 99.9999 would say, no, I would want to be born. Yeah, I would have wanted to live. Right? Right.
So can you clarify, do you think that the state of Nebraska should require a young girl who was raped to carry that pregnancy to term?
So Nebraska is a pro-life state. I believe life begins at conception, and those are babies too. So if Roe versus Wade, which was a horrible constitutional decision, gets overturned by the Supreme Court, which we're hopeful of, here in Nebraska, we're going to take further steps to protect those preborn babies.
Including in the case of rape or incest?
They're still babies too, yes. They're still babies.
So if Roe is overruled and overturned, will you call a special session right away to ban abortion in Nebraska?
Well, if we do get that Roe versus Wade overturned, I will work with our Speaker of the Legislature to work on a special session and do more to protect preborn babies. We'll have to wait and see what that decision is before we can take further steps, but that would certainly be my intention.
Mm. Governor Ricketts, and if you believe in a creator and that creator sent a soul, that has to be the answer of pro-lifers or conservatives when asked about protecting babies. Yes, even in the horrible, horrible thing you're asking that young woman or middle-aged or older woman, whatever, that is to have to go through to give birth to something that was so violent. And I mean, and if you're like, well, I could never get over that, then please give it up for adoption. There's no reason to make one wrong, you know, turn into two wrongs. It's not in it. There's still babies.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Don't we all sleep so soundly at night knowing that Kamala Harris is one heartbeat away from the presidency? Woo! Something isn't working with her. Here she was at a summit, State Department in Washington, and she repeated the phrase, work together, let's see, four times in 30 seconds. Something's not working upstairs. Let's go count. Ready?
That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action. With that, I thank you all. This is a matter of urgent priority for all of us, and I know we will work on this together.
I miscounted the first time. It's five. It was five. I thought it was four. Yeah, so it was five times in 30 seconds. How in the world did she get to this position in America?
Paging Willie Brown to the White House.
I think to double check there, Kamala was trying to get the point across that we're going to work together. Okay, we're going to work together. She did her whole speech about the passage. It's weed. It's they need a drug tester. When she was talking about the passage of time and the space, it affects us all and it connects us all with the passage of time. Remember at the news conference when she was laughing at the wrong time about refugees? No, that's not the cackling time, Kamala. When you're talking about refugees, Kamala, do you know what refugees are? They have hungry kids. They have blankets around them. They have sticks that they carry up on the side as they walk with their oxen. That's what we're talking about. No house, no electricity, no water, no food. That. And she's going to laugh at that? You know what a former spokeswoman for President Zelensky, after Kamala Harris actually left over there in Europe, went on Twitter. And she deleted this, but it was out for a few days. Iluia Mendel, former Ukrainian spokeswoman, said it would be a tragedy if this woman won the presidency. So true. They know what they're thinking over there.
It's racist.
Oh, no, it's not, Al. No, it's not. She's literally a heartbeat. And it wasn't like, you know, she got it because of her talent ability. But Joe said, hey, I'm going to make sure it's a black woman. And with the Supreme Court of the United States, I'm going to make sure it's a black woman. Yeah, right out the chute. No EOE in that opinion, is there? No equal opportunity for anybody else. But anyhow, she wants us to work together when it comes to climate change. This really says what I think about her. I really hope nothing happens to Joe before 2024. Now that says a whole lot about what I think about her, man. You got to keep going, Joe.
We have to keep this going.
Yes. It's primary day, not here, across America.
Polls opened up at 7 a.m., and in talking to voters, the task that they've really had at the Republican side is trying to determine who they find to be the true conservative candidate here, and then whether that candidate is the person that can pull in moderates and independents come the general election, because that is something that they are going to have to do. Now, Dr. Mehmet Oz, the celebrity surgeon, now he believes that he is that person. He's among three leading candidates right now. He cast his vote this morning. In April, he was endorsed by former President Trump. Adding to the drama of this race, Democratic frontrunner John Fetterman, who's also the lieutenant governor here in Pennsylvania, remains in the hospital today after suffering a stroke on Friday.
Oh, my. Trump's winning streak here is on the line as we got five states, the midterms. And, of course, they were talking about Pennsylvania there. Trump made a lot of people didn't agree with it. Neither did I. He said, well, I went with the guy that I thought could win. Well, I want people that to stand by the principles of conservatism and not water it down. He went after celebrity surgeon Dr. Oz there. And hey, and if Dr. Oz was a convert and came around and espoused the views, he's all like kids can be transgender. He doesn't believe in abortion, but not going to tell somebody else that they can't do it. Come on, man. Come on. Let's see here. Looks like he's also running against U.S. Representative Ted Budd in North Carolina. Trump has backed as well Pennsylvania, Oregon, Idaho, holding primaries for governor here in just a few hours. And Congressman Madison Cawthorn, the one that came out and said that Republicans are inviting him to orgies and cocaine, he's got a primary in North Carolina as well. Trump endorsed Oz going after hedge fund CEO David McCormick. But Kathy Barnett, Fox News poll, so she's surging. She's the black conservative candidate woman in this race here. And I played you her audio last week. She was a victim. She was created from rape. And she was saying, I don't want my life to be. You know, I'm going to go back and find that.
Here. Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman's campaign is hosting his watch party here in the Pittsburgh area. He's been in the hospital since Friday with a stroke. Fetterman says he expects to be back on the campaign trail soon, though that only happens if he wins his primary. He's up against Congressman Connor Lamb, who's running as a more centrist candidate, who's touted winning in a congressional district former President Donald Trump won overwhelmingly. The top-tier Republicans, meanwhile, all voted in person. Dr. Mehmet Oz, David McCormick, and Kathy Barnett. Former President Trump is pushing for Oz, even releasing a robocall asking Republicans to vote for him, criticizing Barnett and McCormick.
Thank you all so much.
What a super Tuesday in North Carolina and Kentucky.
The race to fill the seat Republican Richard Burr is giving up is the one to watch. On that side, Congressman Ted Budd and former Governor Pat McCrory are the big names.
Dude, drink a rock star.
Budd has the Trump endorsement. The winner likely to face Democrat and former state Supreme Court Chief Justice Sherry Beasley. In House races, the 11th District Madison Cawthorn GOP primary will be watched mainly due to his recent public missteps. In Kentucky, Republican Senator Rand Paul faces a primary, while the 3rd District House seat is up for grabs with the retirement of Democrat John Yarmuth.
Woohoo! We get to vote in America. Freedom to vote, freedom of free speech.
The left loves free speech too, don't we?
Yeah, in Oregon and Idaho.
In Oregon, we'll find out who moves on to November to succeed Democrat Kate Brown as governor. Both major parties have a crowded candidate field. Democratic Senator Ron Wyden is seeking re-election this midterm cycle, while the 4th and 6th districts will have new representation in Congress. In Idaho, Republican Brad Little is running for a second term as governor. Side note, Ammon Bundy, a key player in a land management standoff in 2014, is running as an independent. Republicans Russ Fulcher and Michael Simpson hope to hold their seats in the House.
All right. I guess what that's going to mean here in a few hours, because it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 43 Pennsylvania polls probably close, what, 7, 8 somewhere in that. Maybe they still open up, but I haven't had the do they ever close, right? Where the polls ever close? I haven't, literally, for the first 3 or 4 years in here, the TV hanging on the wall here, multiple cable, I've had it off for the last, it's probably been over a year now. We decided, Agent Squires and myself, we have TVs in our rooms, we decided, you know what, we can get enough alerts if the world blows up, we're going to turn these TVs off. And I'm glad we did. But what I'm saying here, I think I might flip it back on in an hour or so and monitor some Fox News here, election results coming in around America. And with elections now, I'm like, I got my ballot in the mail. I unfolded it today and looked at it and thought, how many millions of these are just floating around this state? And our the fact that we can ballot harvest, and it's just a former state attorney general who's now a part of a project that's investigating election fraud across the United States is warning that voting by mail actually undermines democracy because of the potential for criminal activity. Sure it does. I've talked many times about the 2005 report that was authored by former President Jimmy Carter, former Secretary of State James Baker, And I played you the audio of this. Even Jerry New York Nuts Nadler, even then, was talking about how voting by mail undermines democracy, right? Phil Klein, he's the former state attorney general in Kansas. He's a law school professor, director of the Amistad Project, which focuses on election fraud activities. He said some methods are not secure. Some methods are overly complicated. Some methods are not transparent. Any of these shortcomings is enough to undermine public confidence in the outcomes of our elections, and that undermines democracy itself. I mean, ever since hanging chads, we always had a little hesitancy, right? But it seemed like we'd kind of gotten over that, I guess, and we got our election results on the night of the election, or at least in the wee hours of the morning. Now it's election week, sometimes election month. Voting by mail changed all of this. The Carter-Baker report that I was telling you about from 2005 said absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. And we saw in 2020 what happened with all those election officials ignoring their own state laws. You can't deny that that did not happen. That did happen. The warning from the 2005 commission said blank ballots mailed to the wrong address or to a large residential building might get intercepted. The Carter-Baker report from 2005 said citizens who vote at home, at nursing homes, at the workplace, or in church are more susceptible to pressure, overt and subtle, or to intimidation. Carter-Baker report said vote buying schemes are far more difficult to detect when citizens vote by mail, and they recommend states ban third-party organizations, activist parties, and candidates from handling absentee ballots. California did the exact opposite of what was recommended in 2005. Carter-Baker wanted steps to make sure absentee ballots are kept secure until they're opened and counted. Many states just use drop boxes. Totally ignoring chain of custody. And there were standards that we had for ballots. All that's been thrown away. And if you cry foul or much less hold a rally in protest, I don't know, you might lose your job. Do you know there were broadcast companies, not this one, but around America that actually told the people on the air, you can't talk, don't talk about the election being stolen. Don't bring any of that up. This weekend, something about the weekend, man, I just don't want to go political. I'm enjoying not going political, but I need to force myself, and I can't believe I'm having to force myself because I really do want to see it, but I haven't watched 2,000 Mules yet. I don't know when I am. I don't know. But I do need to see it. I got to see this. And the truth about the election is being withheld, and we know that the you know, whether it's the New York Times or the Washington Post or the LA Times or all the Alphabet, CNN, NBC, ABC, whatever, the swamp media, the true disinformation press, you know, this they've suppressed it. And this is kind of shocking to me as well. We had the director maker of the film, Dinesh D'Souza, back on the show, and we basically talked to him about every one he's put out over the last 4 or 5 years here. But do you know that there wasn't even a mention on Fox News about it? Do you know there wasn't even a mention on Newsmax about it? Nothing from Fox, nothing from Newsmax. They didn't even utter the name of the movie. And let's do remember Fox, which I got to turn on here in a little bit, was the first network to call the race for Joe Biden early on election night. Remember, they were the first one to do Arizona. Well, we'll see how it all works out. I mean, if we completely lose confidence in our election, which I think I have. I think I have. I really do. But you know what I can talk about because Congress is talking about? Because if Congress wasn't talking about it, man, that's not polite to talk about in public these days, right? Unidentified flying objects. Still waiting to see my first one. Congress is talking about it, so I'm going to talk about it. Let's do it next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
On the show, 5 o'clock, Fresno City Councilman Gary Bredefeld. He's accusing Esparza. Now Esparza's filed a defamation lawsuit against Bredefeld. Boy, it's just a normal day downtown. We'll talk to the city councilman Bredefeld coming up at 5 o'clock on the show. I was telling you about the Marvel movie thing out that made the Satanist be the hero in this. Here is a good story. Sony Pictures, they actually took a stand against China's censorship with the release back in December of Spider-Man No Way Home. Did you watch that? Spider-Man No Way Home?
Yeah, that's a Sony movie.
Yeah, yeah. Technically, it's not. Oh, I know it's not. It's a Sony. That's when I said Sony Pictures. Yeah, okay. Long history behind that? All right. Sony refused to make changes to the movie to get a release in China. And what did they need taken out of the Spider-Man No Way Home movie? Patriotic scenes of the Statue of Liberty didn't sit well with the Chinese Communist Party. They wanted the scene removed that showed Peter Parker and company fighting the villains on the top of the Statue of Liberty. And Sony Pictures said, nope, not going to do it. Go talk to LeBron. He'll go along with you. They tried to kind of compromise, and they asked Sony to minimize or kind of darken the statue so it wouldn't be as noticeable. And once again, Sony Pictures said, ain't going to do it. Movie was banned in China. You know what? This makes me want to. When the kids were little and stuff, you know, I would watch those. But I'm not I'm not even really too much of an action movie because they all seem fake. And I know Spider-Man's not real, but it makes me want to go purchase it. Support that, right? Well, first watch 2,000 Mules. Get them in line. But, you know, NBA, they caved. Sony has a backbone. They didn't cave. They decided not to release it in China. Cost them roughly between $170 and $340 million, they said. But it was still very, very successful. Top grossing movie of 2021. Third highest earning movie of all time, coming in behind Star Wars. So must have been really good. It earned $800 million domestically. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, decent. Okay. Is decent a 7 or is decent an 8 or 9? You got to watch it more than once to give it. Okay. Well, I'll have you over. We'll watch the movie. There you go. We'll have some Fresca and some pork rinds. Actually, two Christmases ago, Agent Squires, wasn't it 2 Christmases ago? That was my Christmas present, along with a big spittoon from 1880 up in Reno or something. But that's my door blocker at home. Keep the door propped open. It's so heavy. And the Fresca and pork rinds, of course, still aren't around. But that's such a treat to sit down and open a bag of pork rinds and pop that Fresca. Man, pour it over some crushed ice and watch you some Spider-Man. UFOs. I haven't seen one. If I do, I'll quit this show and be a UFO broadcaster from my, I don't have a basement, but from my, I guess, my house. Could I afford a house with a podcast on UFOs? Maybe my parents' spare bedroom? Yeah, okay, there you go. A House subcommittee is going to hold a hearing next week here, or actually this week. This is from last week, about the first open congressional hearing. It's the House intelligence on this topic. National security, risk that it poses. I guess we can say that if they're doing this, holding a meeting, they're there. They're up there somewhere, right? And believe me, anytime I'm hanging out outside, which is, I don't know, 2.8% of my life, but I'm always looking up. I'm always going, I'm going to see one. I'm going to see a little metal orb up there in the middle of the day. Or at night, I'm going to see a light suddenly branch out into four lights and then zip across. And we do have video evidence of this. The biggest one, the lights over Phoenix. And I'm trying to think of the governor's name at the time. But he came out with a press conference with the space alien mascot, making a joke about it. But then Governor Phi Simonton, he came to my mind. But then a few years after he was out of office, he goes, no, that was real. Oh, thanks. Transparency in government, right? Well, we'll follow this UFO stuff, right? Who knows? Maybe we'll find a UFO guest to come on. Have you seen a UFO? Email me, Trevor, powertalk967.com. Maybe I'll pick you to be a guest. The delusion called Fauci, Galley, Vora, next.